Hello, and welcome to the family at World Harvest Outreach.
I thank you so much for coming to grace the occasion yesterday and this meeting today. I know that God will bless you. Asante San. And to this wonderful church, the Lord is here. Yes. This is a new day that the Lord has made. You see, it's very easy to carry forth with a mentality of yesterday, but yesterday has come and gone, and this is the day of the Lord. And the Lord does not give you a day if he has nothing in store for you. So this morning the Lord has some nice package for each one of us. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Usually I'm a very soft speaker, so today, if you allow me, I want to shout a little bit so that I don't fall asleep because of jet lag. Is that a good thing? Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of your word this morning. Thank you for your children, sons and daughters who are gathered here today with an expectation, oh God. We thank you, Lord, because we know the expectation of the righteous will never be cut off. And this morning, Lord, as many as have come to your presence, we know you are meeting them at the point of need in the name of Jesus. That through your word, their lives are strengthened. They are energized by your spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for ministering grace this morning. Help me to dispense your word with the grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I am so excited this morning. Because somebody is going home today changed. Somebody is going home today having received the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you are here and you have never received the Lord in your heart, this is your moment. Raise your hand right now. You have never received the Lord in your heart. If you're here, you have never received the Lord in your heart as the Lord and Savior of your soul. This is your moment. Because I want to continue with this gospel with everyone on board. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Everyone is saved here. This is wonderful. Let's appreciate the Lord. Everybody is born again. Hallelujah. For there is no way you can be in the presence of God and remain the same again. It's not possible. The worship team was wonderful. The Lord has been here. Surely, environment must change you. Must change you. I want to speak this morning about something that is familiar to all of you. But please switch your ears on. Even though it's familiar to you. The word of God is always new. Fresh, new, every morning. If God is for us, who can be against us? The book of Romans chapter 8 verse 31. You see, people don't necessarily build fences around their homes to guard themselves from wild animals. People don't necessarily put fences around them because they are scared of mosquitoes. You know, people don't build guns. Guns are not made because of cows or because of the American buffalo. There is something like that. American buffalo. Is there something like American buffalo? Buffalo. Yeah. Even though I know some people use guns to hunt them, but if you think very carefully, you realize that guns are made for fellow human beings. Arsenals and artilleries, all these weapons of mass destruction, dangerous things, and knives and machetes and spears, they're things that are designed against man. Against man. You see, when the Lord is on your side, does it really matter who comes against you? When the Lord, today I want you to engage me a little bit. It's going to be different. So you talk to me. When the Lord is on your side, does it really matter who comes against you?
No.
Tell them, come. Because the Lord is on my side.
Amen.
Therefore, it does not matter who gangs up against me.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. That is the consciousness that we want to carry this morning. That the Lord is on my side. Therefore, it does not matter the armies, whoever gangs against me, it does not matter, because the Lord is for me.
Yes.
The Lord is for me. This morning I want to declare that the Lord is for you. The Lord is for you. Thank you. So when we go to God in prayer, what is critical is knowing whose side is God. When you go to God in prayer, it is critical for you to know on whose side is God. When you are on the same side with God in prayer, you begin your prayer from a consciousness of victory. Because you are on the same side with God. The one who answers your prayer, he is on your side. So when you go to ask him anything, you go to him with the consciousness of victory.
Amen.
You're not going to beg him, because he is on your side. And even if he tells you, wait a minute, he is still on your side. He is still on your side. So you can patiently wait, knowing he is on my side. And waiting, the best way to wait upon the Lord is to meditate on his word.
Yes.
Waiting upon the Lord is not sitting down and relaxing and saying, I'm waiting upon the Lord. No, no, no. It is eating the word of God, chewing the word of God. Chewing the word of God. Meditating the word of God is an active process. It is not just pondering on your mind. It is putting the word of God on your mouth and muttering under your breath the word of God. As you wait upon the Lord, you are doing what the word of God is saying. You become a word practitioner. You practice the word of God. Bible says, don't just be hearers of the word of God, but be also doers of the word of God. Practice the word of God. I love Pastor when he came here this morning and said, let us practice focus, concentration. Practice the word of God. So you start your prayers from a position of advantage, because you know God is on your side. That position shapes your attitude and engagement in prayer. You approach prayer from a place of answers and not just from a place of need. You see? You go to God knowing, I got answers, not I got needs. So, you see Jesus doing his prayer and his approach in the book of John chapter 11 verse 41. John chapter 11 verse 41 to 42. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Did you hear that? Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Not you will hear me. I thank you that you have heard me. Even before asking, I thank you that you have heard me. I only said it loud for the sake of these people, so that they may believe that you have sent me. Otherwise, Jesus would have just walked straight towards the tomb of Lazarus and cried out and said, Lazarus, come ye forth. But because he wanted the people to believe, he had to pray loudly. But he conditioned his mind by saying, Father, I thank you for you have heard me. And this morning, we can go to God with that consciousness and that mindset. Father, you have heard me.
Yes.
What issues have been on your mind, child of God? What concerns have you had as a child of God in the house of God? Your Father is on your side. Your daddy is on your side. That condition must leave. That addiction must leave. That sickness must leave. Whatever the need is, must lose its hold in the name of Jesus. As I speak, the power of God will heal you. The Bible says, as Jesus spoke, the power of God was present to heal. So don't wait for moments. As you listen to the word of God, continue to stir your faith. Stir your faith, child of God. We don't gather in the presence of God for nothing. He dispenses things. He dispenses things according to the desire of every heart. And today, the Lord is dispensing things in the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, it matters whose side is God. When you pray in accordance with his will, it means that you pray from his side. And I'm coming shortly. It helps to know you are on the same side with God. Can you say, I am on the same side with God?
Side.
Therefore, that we are on the winning side.
Yes.
Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, whosoever ye desire, whatsoever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you have received. Did you hear that? Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received. And you shall have. Now you see? Whatsoever you desire, believe that you have received. And you will have. You see, many times, Pastor Mark, when people come, do you normally ask people sometimes to come? In our church, people sometimes come in front to be prayed for.
Yeah.
Okay. Does it happen here? Thank you. Okay. Now, sometimes when that time happens, and pastor is calling an altar call, and people are coming to be prayed for, people hurry to go. And they're prayed for. And sometimes it surprises me how people leave. When they say, come! And receive whatever it is God is going to do for you. And people hurry to come. And they're so excited coming. But when they leave like this. They leave like this. They leave with their heads down. They came to receive, but they are not behaving like people who have received. When have you ever had a need? Have you ever had a burning need, child of God? What happens when that need is solved? Do you walk like this?
No.
How do you walk? You are yelling and shouting, I'm happy. You take your phone, honey, oh, the Lord has done it. Hallelujah. The Lord has done it. Oh, you are shouting and screaming. That is what you're supposed to do when you go to God in prayer. When you say amen in Jesus' name, the Bible says you have received. So your attitude and mannerisms should be consistent with what the word of God says.
Amen.
That you have received. Begin to appreciate God. Begin to jump and shout. Begin to rejoice because you know you have received.
Amen.
But you know what you received is a spiritual package. As you continue rejoicing, the Bible says you will have it. So there will be a physical manifestation of whatever thing you so desired in prayer. Some of those things happen immediately after prayer. And some of those things may take time. It may happen after a day, may happen after a year. But when did you receive it? If it happens after a year, you received it the day you presented it to God. Today, we are all going home with prayer answers to our prayers. Because the Father is on our side. And he is releasing the answers to whatever desires we so have. Amen.
Amen.
We receive twice in prayer. First, when we pray, we receive a spiritual answer. We walk out rejoicing that we have received it. It is in the spiritual realm. You have received it by faith. And then we receive it again in the physical manifestation. When you eventually see it. Like I said, it could happen instantly. It could be the same time. Or it could take time to manifest. If you do not receive first, if you don't receive first, the first time when you prayed, I can dare say chances are probably you may not receive it the second time. The things of God are the things of the Spirit. We've got to receive them in the Spirit first.
Yes.
We've got to receive them in the Spirit first. The Bible says the natural man understands not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned.
Yes.
We've got to be in the Spirit to catch the things of the Spirit.
Yes.
To receive the things of the Spirit.
Yes.
Like Mary, the mother of Jesus, when angel came to speak to Mary, "Mary, you will have a baby," my own words, "you will conceive a baby." And you know what she said? You know what she said. Mary said, "How will this be, seeing I know no man? How will this be, seeing I know no man?" Mary was engaging the angel in the natural realm. The only way to receive a baby, I must know a man. You see? And the angel is talking spiritual things. But Mary cannot decode what the angel is saying. That's what she's asking. How possibly will this happen? Because I know no man. Mary was expecting a natural response, a natural reaction. Many believers go to God with a natural mindset. Brethren, prayer is spiritual. Prayer is spiritual. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in
spirit
and truth. God is always working. He was working over 2,000 years ago. He was working from the when the whole world was formless and amorphous. He was working. And he has never stopped working. He has never stopped working. There are people who believe there are things that happened many years ago. Those things don't happen anymore. The Lord is the same. Yesterday, today, and
forever.
He is still at work. He's still healing the sick. He's still healing families. He's still raising the dead. The Lord is still creating new things.
Yes.
The Lord has never stopped his mission for mankind.
Amen.
The challenge is we engage God in the natural realm and we think he's going to work. It will not work. When some of us go to God in prayer for healing, we see God wearing a white overall. In our mind, Pastor talked about imagination. Pastor, thank you. I was listening. I listen carefully when I come to the house of God, especially when the man of God is talking.
Yes.
You can use your imagination. That we'll see. So sometimes when we go to God in prayer, we engage our imagination. If you are talking about an issue of sickness or disease, you see God wearing a white jacket with a stethoscope in his ears. You see? And you see him taking your heartbeat. That's the imagination. When you think about the sick, you think about a doctor. Your imagination comes direct that way. Or you see God coming to you with us, what we call a blood pressure meter. There's an English word for it. there's a technical word for it. Asyphagomanometer. You know that thing? Yeah? You know that thing? Yeah. That they used to check pressure. So you see God coming to you with all these gadgets in your mind in prayer. And so when you go to God in prayer, you are visualizing those kind of things in your mind. No! Our God is a healer, yes, but he doesn't come packaged that way. He heals you through his word. Remember that he sends forth his word and healeth our diseases. Your imagination should be focused on the word of healing.
Yes.
Come on, God's children.
Amen.
You see, we go to God in prayer. And we have, for example, a person who is on a wheelchair. Trusting God to walk out of the wheelchair. When you pray, you still see yourself more and more on the wheelchair in your mind. Or there is a person with a terminal disease. Cancers can be healed.
Amen.
They are healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come on, how come you're not believing? You're not believing.
Amen.
Cancer is so simple to God, like a flu.
Amen.
Like a flu.
Yeah.
The anointing you need to deal with a flu and cancer is the same anointing.
Yes.
Same anointing. You see, it is conditioned in our mind. That this is a killer disease. And therefore, you've got to pray more. You've got to believe God more. Yes, believe God more. Pray more, yes. But you know, God can just do it like this. He can do it just like this. Can you do like this? Like this. He can do it. He will do it. So when you go to God in prayer, don't go with, I thank God for doctors. Thank you. Let's appreciate doctors. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you, all the doctors who are here. Hallelujah. God bless you. But you know, every hospital that is big enough has a mortuary. You know that? Why do they have a mortuary? They are telling, why? You see? They are telling you, we will try our best. But the mortuary is going to be here just in case. Just in
case.
When you go to God, God does not have a mortuary.
Yeah.
Go to God. He is life.
Yeah.
He is life. In him there is no death. When you go to God in prayer concerning a terminal disease, for example, focus on life and life only. In the name of Jesus. Life and life only. Don't go to God and God, I know the doctors have said he's got 3 days to live. Are you God? How? What is that? That's not prayer. That he's got 3-4 days to live. No! Pray as though there is only life and life alone. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, if you know somebody in your life, in your family, your friend, your neighbor, who is going through a terminal challenge, a disease or anything, please take a minute right now and pray for them in the name of Jesus. If you know, condition your mind by faith. Close your eyes, pray for that person in the name of Jesus. This minute, in the name of Jesus Christ. You know somebody is struggling in their lives. They are in hospital. They are in hospice. You know it is a case that is completely relegated to nothing, that it will never change. Take a minute right now and ask God by faith in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Open up your mouth right now and talk to God concerning that situation that you know, a neighbor, a relative, a friend, a family person in the name of Jesus that is going through a situation that is difficult. The Lord is able to change that situation, and that is the mindset we're going to have. Our work is to be faithful in presenting our needs, our petitions to God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and not being anxious for anything, because the Lord is well able to change situations like that. He's a mighty specialist of complex things and simple things together. In the name of Jesus. If you have an issue, for example, you can't walk, and you go to God in prayer. When you pray, in prayer, see yourself walking. See yourself running. See yourself doing that thing that you were not able to do before. That is faith.
Yes.
For a person who is in a wheelchair, for example, you pray for them and the picture. You see, God answers to us in pictures. Pictures in our mind. They flash pictures in our mind. So as you pray, if a picture of that person in the wheelchair still comes to you, keep saying no. Keep saying no until you see the person's picture walking.
Amen.
Walking.
Yes.
See them overcoming that situation in your spirit.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Our God is on our side.
Yes.
He doesn't gain much when we suffer too much. He says he has counted all joy when you go through challenges. Yes. But you know what? He can change things around for his glory.
Amen.
We're going to just take our position and faithfully remain focused on his word.
Yes.
God told Joshua, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, and you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. You see, meditate. When you meditate, you shut yourself in the word of God. Can you visualize that? Shut yourself in the word of God. Shut out anything that is not consistent with the word of God. That you've had concerning that moment. And believe. Shut yourself in the word of God. Believe everything the word of God says. The word of God is infallible. It is infallible.
Yes.
It is indefatigable. The word of God cannot be subjected to fatigue. It is a fresh word. So, for the oil to flow after the woman who had a debt and someone wanted to come and take their kids, for the oil to flow, she was instructed by the prophet to borrow vessels, not buy vessels, borrow vessels, borrow as many as possible. And she borrowed so many vessels. And after borrowing all the vessels, the Bible says she shut herself inside the house with her children. And the oil continued flowing.
Hallelujah.
Continued flowing. She shut herself inside. Faith requires us shutting ourselves inside.
Hallelujah.
Shut ourselves inside. The word of God. For miracles to flow. Tell somebody, shut yourself inside.
Inside.
You don't want to function in faith. You know this person is dying of cancer, for example, and you're saying, I'm believing God for his healing. And that is opening up yourself to your faith to attacks. And everybody knows, oh, it never gets healed. Oh, and you're telling them, oh, it's going to. No. You shut yourself. Even Jesus, he comes to raise the dead. And he kicks out everybody and he shuts himself inside. Look at Elisha with a Shunammite woman's son who had died. He sends Gehazi. He sends Gehazi with a staff. Gehazi, go place this staff on the baby and the baby will come to life. Gehazi runs with the staff. Now listen carefully. Please listen carefully. He runs with the staff. And goes and places the stuff on the baby. And Gehazi dares to come back to the man of God and tells the man of God, it did not work. It did not work. Thank you. It did not work. How can the word from the mouth of a servant of God not work? Listen to the servant of God every time they speak. How can it not work? And the man of God, Elisha, is vexed in the spirit. And he goes running. And he shuts himself in again.
And he lies, he spritzes himself on the baby several times, his mouth on the mouth of the baby, his hands on the baby.
After a short while, the baby sneezes. Sometimes, the baby comes back to life.
How can you say to the man of God, it didn't work?
Didn't work how? Listen to the oracles through the servant of God, children of God. We familiarize ourselves with God's people so many times. Maybe sometimes because we know the weakness they have. But when they stand to speak the word of God, receive the word of God, put the word of God to work. Run with the word of God. Do what you are told. Of course it works. The word of God works. When Elijah spoke, go, that was the word of God. And Gehazi needed to act on the word of God. This is what's happening today, man of God, everywhere you hear. Oh, it's not working. Who said it's not working? It is working. Tell somebody it is working. It is working. It is working. Who said families cannot live together forever? For a long time until the Lord decides otherwise. Who said there must be divorces? Who said? Now please don't mind. I'm just talking about the spirit. I'm not talking about any particular person. Who said? Marriages work. Yes, they work. If you align yourself according to scripture. The foundation of marriage in the word of God. It will work.
Amen.
It will work. It works. It works, America!
Yes.
These are the best times to be a believer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am so happy to be a believer in these days. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I am the happiest person to be a believer in these times. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And God's is not pleased with those who walk back from faith. He's not pleased with that. He says the just, the righteous ones. The just are the righteous ones. And who are the righteous ones? You and I. We have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You, the righteous ones, will live by faith.
Yes.
Come on!
Yes.
Not by the intelligentsia of your mind. Intelligentsia. Is that English? Intelligentsia. Not by the intelligentsia of your mind. I was witnessing to somebody, a very serious business consultant in UK. And she was telling me, I'm talking about grace. She's telling me, I call it social intelligence. You call grace social intelligence? All right, keep calling it social intelligence. She's telling me, you know what, Hudson? She's a lady who's about 68 years old. She's telling me, you know what? I believe that a man uses his mind to decide his own destiny. Oh, I told him, good, continue. Continue. You continue. Use your mind, continue. The only point I've seen in scripture where God is calling man to reason with him is at the place of sin, when your sin is too red. Too red. When a man has red sins, not green ones. Red sins. He comes and says, come, let us reason together. I will clean them up.
Yes.
They will become as white as snow.
Yes.
That is the only place I see God inviting man to reasoning. Any other place, he says, it is my word, take it or leave it. It's up to you. Children of God, let us stop complications of minds. The word of God works. For example, there is something like speaking in tongues. It is there. There is something like flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. It is there. The fact that one is not operating in them does not mean it is not working. Let us boldly take advantage of the things of God. They are placed there by God for our benefits. The word of God is for our benefit. Let's take advantage of the word of God. You want to struggle in this world? Yes, keep struggling.
Keep struggling. When you have the Holy Spirit, your helper, who helps you through prayer, for example, he can help us through prayer. I will send you along, Paracletos, your helper. You see, you will still go to heaven, no problem, but you will have struggled too. And yet you have pastor here who is flowing in the Spirit, having an easy time in the Lord, praying in the Lord. I tell you, children of God, take advantage of the mysteries that are in the Word of God. They are for our benefit. Whether it makes sense to you or not, receive it. If it's in the Bible, receive it. Take it all in. Take it all in. If it is in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, not in the iPad. If it is in the Bible, take it all in. When you go to the doctor, they give you pills. Take 2 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and 4 at night. And you faithfully walk with pills, knowing you have to take them. Taking the Word of God the same way you are taking in pills. Take it in the morning. Take it in the noontime. Take it in the evening. It works wonders. The Bible says you are marked for signs and for wonders. But if you take in the Word of God, tell somebody, take it in. So, we are not helpless children of God for us to demand politicians to speak on our behalf. We are not helpless. Oh, this leader is not, who said he will speak for us? He's not our mouthpiece. You understand? Yes. Politicians are good people. They are not our mouthpiece.
Yes.
You want them to do what? They were not designed to do anything for you. They were not designed to do anything for us. We are the change agents that God has placed in this world. You and I. You and I. We are living in times when darkness is too much. Darkness is too much. Where James is marrying Steve. Darkness is too much. I am happy to be in these times of faith. Because when there is too much darkness, that is when you have to turn on your light. The intensity of your light as a child of God needs to be so brighter and brighter in these dark times. So let your light so shine. The darkness you are seeing in the world today is for to our advantage. Don't cry about it. It is to our advantage. It is time to turn on your light. Turn it on. Bless it on the rooftops. Bless it on the mountaintops. Let your light so shine.
Yes.
Shine brighter. Shine brighter. Your light of marriage. Your light of integrity. Your light of faithfulness. Your light of holiness. Your light of righteousness.
Yes.
All kind of lights. For me, this is the year of lights.
Yes.
This is the year of lights. It is my turn to shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say amen. Where we come from, that's what he say. No problem. Hallelujah. So we can chart out a new course, children of God. We can chart out a new course for our families, for our children, for our spouses. A new path for our nation, for our health. We can do it. Joshua chapter 5, I'm about to conclude. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 and verse 14. Joshua was by Jericho. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn. That's Joshua 5, 13 to 14. With a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or are you for our adversary? And he said, No. But as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. And Joshua fell to his face to the earth and worshipped
and said to him, "What says my Lord unto his servant?" The angel literally meant, "Joshua, I am neither for you nor for your adversary." When Joshua asked, "Are you for us or for our adversary?" he said, "Nay." He didn't answer Joshua's answer. The angel did not tell Joshua, "I am for you or I'm for your enemy." No. The angel told Joshua, "I am neither for you nor for your adversary." But he announced who he was. "But as captain of the army of the Lord, I am now come." The angel defines himself. He needed Joshua to define himself. "Joshua, that is who I am. But on whose side are you, Joshua? Joshua, on whose side are you?" That's what the angel is trying to imply here. That is the implication. "I am neither on that side nor on this side. But I am come now as the captain of the army of the Lord." He is not here to choose and determine out, you know, on the affairs, to determine our affairs on our behalf. The angel could not come and determine and say, "Hey, I am for you." No. He comes single-minded, focused, yes, to accomplish his own purpose. Yes. It is for Joseph to align himself, yes, with the purpose of God. Yes. And Joshua missed that point. Joshua should have been in the spirit. He should have been in spirit to realize, "Hey, this one looks like me. He's one of our kind. He looks like after our nature." You see? And he would have immediately worshipped without asking that question. And said, "Lord, I'm here, please. What are you saying?
This is really good.
What are you saying? Choose to align yourself with where God is."
Yes.
Sometimes we wonder sometimes.
Yes.
Choose to align yourself quickly. Do you know where you belong? There are some of us who don't recognize the Lord when he is in our midst. We don't recognize the Lord when he's here. Sometimes the pastor has to tell us, "God is here." "Oh, where is he? Where is the Lord? He's in that corner. People are shouting so much. Where is he?" You see? Because sometimes we come to church and we are not focused on what we actually came to do. What did we come to do when we came to church? What really did we come to do? Hi. By the way, what did you come to do? Ask somebody. Don't get an answer. Ask them, "What did you come to do?" Ask them, "What did you come to do?" Ask my sister from Durban, "What did you come to do?" Did you ask them?
Yes.
We don't recognize when God is in our midst sometimes. And we miss out on a very incredible opportunity. And Jesus did this. He weeps at Jerusalem. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, you do not know the time of your visitation." Child of God, anytime we have a chance to be in the presence of God, be conscious of the presence of God. Remain conscious of the presence of God. Remain conscious of the presence of God. That's what the worship leader was trying to tell us this morning. What a wonderful worship it was this morning. Never let that moment fly past you. That's what you're saying. You're saying it is here in my nose. Never let that moment fly past you. Then don't let it sweep away. No! David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." And in the house of the Lord, we say, nothing else matters.
Yes.
Nothing else matters other than Jesus.
Yeah. That's right.
And the disciples go to a place and they say, "Jesus,
and we go, for you carry the words of life. You carry the words of life. Hey, we need Jesus. We need to be in the presence of God more than any other thing. When we are there, every other thing that concerns us, the Bible says, the Lord will perfect everything that concerns me. If it concerns you, the Lord will perfect everything that concerns you. Do you have any concern this morning? In his presence, the Lord will perfect everything that concerns you.
Thank you, Lord.
He is working for you to perfect it. That is the mindset. Let us stop being casual in the presence of God. Not physically. Not physically. I don't mean dressing. In fact, I like it. I feel free. I can shout and dance. You know, the Lord. Don't be casual in the presence of God. You see, immediately in the presence, when Joshua realized, he went down and entered the tent. Remove your shoes. Where you are standing is holy. When you are conscious of the presence of God, you are sanctified. You know you need, you're standing in a holy ground. This is a holy ground. This is a holy ground. Where chaffs are separated from clean water. Where that is washed away by the river of the Spirit that is flowing through the word of God. The Bible says you are clean by the words that I spoke to you. You've got to recognize that as a child of God. You are clean by the word that I've spoken to you. We come to be cleansed, to be washed by the word of God. The word of God washes us clean, sparkling clean. God can change our situations just like this. Just like this. Anytime you're in the presence of God, is an opportunity for God to change you. Like today. It is an opportunity for God to improve your life. Hallelujah. It is an opportunity for God to improve your life. Like Mary said in the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 38. And Pastor, kindly please come. I'm handing over the microphone. In the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 38. Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. The Holy Spirit came immediately upon Mary and she conceived. She submitted herself to the authority of the word of God. Be it unto me according to your word.
Father, we ask now that that which was just spoken into the atmosphere would not stay nebulous and hanging, but it would go deep. Come on, if you're with me on that, just say amen.
Amen.
May this go deep on the inside of me. May it awaken and open ancient doors inside of me, waiting to be opened. God, may our hearts be good soil for this word that's come forth. Father, I thank you that every seed, every word that comes from heaven does not return to you void, but accomplishes what it was sent to do. Father, I thank you that this word that came forth today would accomplish what you had in mind for it in us. May it change the way we think about ourselves and about you. May it change the way we pray. May it change the way we see people in our lives, circumstances, situations. Let this go deep inside of us, God. And I want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your goodness toward us, God. I feel like we don't thank you enough for how good you are toward us. Father, may our lives manifest that goodness to a world that desperately needs it. Father, I thank you for Hudson today. I thank you for who he is. I thank you for the calling, the invitation that he has accepted from you in this life. I speak a blessing in and over him and his family in Jesus' name. That which the Lord is doing in you would first have its full manifestation in and through your life. Father, I thank you for the prayers that Hudson would pray, that he would see the fruit in this day, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that the prayers he has prayed for his wife and his children, Lord God, that that would bear fruit in them and that they would manifest the glory of God and the purpose for which they were created. Father, I thank you for an expansion of vision. Father, this is a man who has faithfully walked in another man's vision and has carried it and stewarded it well. I honor him before you today, Lord. And now, Lord God, I say by the declaration of the prophetic anointing, Lord, that he begin to walk in the vision you have given him now and that it would expand beyond the borders of that which other men have walked in. I declare that this is the time for you to walk in what the Lord has placed inside of you, to expand and broaden that which other men and women have done before you. It is now time to build upon those things because you have faithfully laid bricks and laid stones in place. And now it is time for you to bring forth these stones that the Lord has placed in you. And you will lay them well. And the Lord will expand your influence beyond even the borders of the nation of Tanzania. May the sound of the Lord in you be heard in the nations of the earth. I pray, Lord God, that his presence here today in World Harvest Outreach would be a prophetic sign of the spread of the sound of the Lord in him. I thank you, Lord God, that many nations, tribes, and tongues will be forever changed because of the ministry and sound of the Lord that comes through Hudson in Jesus' name. We agree with who you are in him, Lord. We agree with the calling, with the invitation, with the mantle of authority that has been placed upon him. We agree and we say yes, and so be it. We say that we welcome who you are into us. We accept you as you are, a son of the Father. You are welcome in this place, just as we have welcomed the Lord himself. So we honor you. We bless you. And we thank you. Lord God, we thank you for who you are and how you're expanding your kingdom. Thank you that we get to be a part of this. You've chosen that we would be a part of this. And we are so thankful. And we're humbled right now. I just feel a sense of humility. We are humbled to be chosen by you to participate in the kingdom of God. We don't take it for granted. I know Hudson right now does not take this for granted. We honor you, Father. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We honor you, Holy Spirit, who helps us, who leads us, who guides us into all truth. Let us never be satisfied that we know enough, experienced enough, have done enough. Oh, no, Lord. We will expand just as you desire to expand. May the increase of your government have no end, and may we participate in that.
World Harvest Outreach is located in Chambersburg, PA, USA, but we have family around the world. To connect with us, please visit whocenterpa.com.